Hello and welcome back to the Andrew Haynes Show. Today's episode, we sat down with Patrick Day, the division president of Professional Sports Catering, a food service company specializing in concessions and catering operations at minor league baseball and spring training stadiums across the country. He offered a unique perspective on the world of sports from a catering and concessions viewpoint, and it was a pleasure to have on the show today. We hope you enjoy. Support for the Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code AGH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code AGH. Your balls will thank you.
All right, we're back for another show. You know, today I've got Patrick Day with us. He's president of Professional Sports Catering, PSC, as I know them from my days in Fredericksburg, handling minor league sports teams all over the country, spring training, and he's had a great career kind of running up through the minor leagues as team president, GM. So he's got both sides of it, front office, the food and beverage. So excited to have you. Thanks for joining me, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. It's awesome to be on here, and I really appreciate what you're trying to do for the entire sports industry with your reach and your energy.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. Well, let's give these guys and gals listening kind of a little bit of background, you know, on your journey. You know, how'd you, first of all, get involved in sports, and then just take us through your journey up till right now?
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. Real simply, grew up in Massachusetts, went to college in West Virginia at a school called Concord College, degree in communications, and like everybody else, I was getting ready to graduate. I had no idea what I wanted to do, absolutely no clue, nor did I really, I wasn't overly concerned about it. I always knew I'd be okay, you know, and I had to do a 200-hour internship, and there's a team in Princeton, West Virginia, which at the time, it's an Appalachian League, at the time, I think this was like 1998, was the smallest city, the smallest town to have an affiliated baseball team. The smallest town out of all 160 is what they claimed. I think the population of Princeton is not quite 4,000. And I called the general manager, voicemail. There's no email back then, or at least I wasn't using it. 1998, left him a voicemail, and I got a message back on my answering machine, which a lot of people probably wouldn't remember.
What's an answering machine?
And that's how I got his message, and he's like, come to the ballpark Saturday at noon, whatever. You know, and I showed up and sat down with him, and he gave me a glorious unpaid internship, okay, and then gave me the flexibility to continue to work at a restaurant that I was working at, waiting tables, and worked every game, and I got $27.50 to be the official scorer during the games. I had a background. This is back before the internet. There's like a dial-in modem thing that you had to do to get the stats off. It was quite a process. To get the end of the game box scores in back then, it took a good hour. And my title was like assistant director of public relations, but it meant that I was sending out the box score at the end of the night and writing a couple paragraphs on the game. But I enjoyed that. I got the taste of it. You know, the energy of it, very entrepreneurial, which always appealed to me. And just who wouldn't want to go to the ballpark every day? And I tell a lot of my friends this. I watched my dad do a job that he didn't like, and I remember telling myself, I'm going to do something I love. Fell in love with it. He put in a good word for me, and I was a December graduate. Big shock. Took me a little bit more than 4 years to get out.
I was going to say, you got done early.
I transferred. It was a transfer thing. But I was a December graduate, and the Charleston Alley Cats in Charleston, West Virginia, were the big team in that state, and played an old ballpark at the time. I think it was over 50-year-old ballpark called Wapaw Park that got knocked down. And I got hired there, $800 a month, 10% commission on new, 5% on existing business, and no internet, no CRM. I created a CRM. I didn't even know anybody. It's not like I went to college saying, hey, I'm going to sell ticket. Like, that's what I wanted to do. Wasn't talking about then. So I created a database, got real hungry. You'll appreciate this as a sales guy. So I did like a week or two of training with AGM, and this is back. We had our sales list, and you got a $75 gas allowance, little side check, and you're expected to knock and go, grip and rip, you know, I sell stuff with soul. My first day out, I went into a mobile home dealership. I'm in West Virginia, a mobile home dealership, walked in, and the guy bought a billboard off me.
Damn.
No joke. It was my first day out on my own. The funny story about it, how life comes full circle. The guy bought it because he used to work in Stockton, California for the ports. Okay. Really? It's my first sale ever. And then, here we are 20 something years later, and I'm doing business with the ports now. And so it's kind of funny. My first billboard ever sold. And I remember like freaking out. I was like, what did I do? Yeah. And he asked me about the art charges. I didn't know that yet. This is back. You remember, like, you used to paint signs. Uh-huh. I mean, we used to pay like $1,000 a sign. These were wooden signs, old ballpark. And I didn't know what to do. And I like called the GM. Like, I'm the guy's office phone asking him, did I sign the contract and done? So that was a pretty big thrill, like right out of the gates. I mean, they talk about that in a lot of business books, you know, getting success out of the gates. That carried me. I was hungry. I sold a lot of tickets. I did really good. Did really good with it. And then just started to grow. And a year later, I was the assistant GM of the team. Real small ballpark, like I was telling you, old. So I was doing a little bit of everything, food and beverage. Staffing the whole, you know, ushers and ticket takers, running the cleaning crew, selling a couple $100,000, you know, just everything at a real young age at like 25, got my hands and everything. And it was great. So that's where the infatuation love came in. And then, put my big boy pants on and went to Montgomery, Alabama. And, what was that? December of 2003, the Biscuits, which was my first year as the director of sales. And then the year after, I was the assistant GM and went down there, did the sales department with Sherry Myers, who co-owner of the team and a great mentor of mine, and cranked out a ton of business. The Biscuits were super controversial back then. That was one of the first times somebody went really out Tom went really out on the edge with the name. It was more controversial than the Lugnuts were. The Lugnuts were real controversial in 96 too. So I got down there and, you know, thought it was a little bit in better shape. You know, you've done some startups, and I get in the CRM and there weren't as many tickets sold as I thought there would be. And we had a lot of work to do on the suites and had like 5 months. I was 27, 28 years old then. And cranked out a ton of bit, and I ain't getting into numbers, but Baseball America Team of the Year, 2 out of 3 years that I was there, super uber successful. That really got me, really boosted me as far as my leadership skills and my growing my business acumen.
Throw biscuits in the crowd?
We had a biscuit shooter. Oh yeah. Yeah. We had a biscuit shooter instead of a hot dog cannon. Yeah, we'd ride around and shoot biscuits, and Everybody loved it once it started, just like all the other typical start. I mean, it's a funny story. We announced the name. I wasn't there, but I've heard a lot about it. I was still working in Charleston, but they announced the team like the July before. It's a big like Jubilee Festival. And Tom, the owner, gets up, got the mayor there. Everybody's pumped. Got the mascot hiding in the wings and they announced it. And like, I guess it was just stone silence. Nothing.
I thought he was joking.
Yeah, like 3,000 people there, and like no reaction. So that was great. It was a really good experience, as you can imagine. You know, true entrepreneurial startup mode. Some of the people that I worked with back then are great friends still today. We really made a good team. It was really, really good. And then in January of 07, the GM left Lansing and the owners owned that team. They asked me to go up there to be the GM, which once again was great. I was 32 years old, run one of the, I don't think it's arguable, it's a top 10 minor league baseball franchise. Still putting up some pretty darn big numbers now. But the brand loyalty in that market was off the chart. So it was a real big responsibility and, something I absolutely loved. And, up until now, it's the best job I ever had. Really proud of that one and stayed there till, so it was the GM in Lansing from 7 to 12. Then I left.
When did the new stadium come there?
Lansing was 1996. So I caught it. My claim to fame there is I managed that through the Great Recession, which Lansing got pummeled.
Killed, yeah.
The car industry is bad. Unemployment was up over 20%. Your sponsorship sales guy, General Motors, it was called Oldsmobile Park. General Motors had the naming rights. The bankruptcy judge let them out of all their deals. Damn. I had to redo a naming rights deal in February. That was tough. I'm pretty proud of it. I did an interview a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty funny to see that the delta in the attendance from 2007 to 2012 was literally 4,000 people. Like, it was like 354 in 07 to 358 in 12. So it was a tough time to run a business, but I'm really proud of the team that I had and everybody we had that we maintained it the way we did. Now that I look back on it a decade later, it didn't feel that way at the time. You know, like it didn't. It was tough. When you got a lot of negative energy out there and there's a lot of negative energy, it can drag you down. But, you know, to look at that the other day, it's a pretty darn good accomplishment. Then I got a little burnout of baseball. My wife and I had just had our first kid, and I got approached by a headhunter to go take a job in the USHL in Muskegon, which at the time felt like it made sense. I was still doing sports, still doing what I wanted. But I think I had like 30 games in like 6 months. Right. And I was like, oh, this is unbelievable.
This is easy.
You know, five games a month. Great. You know, and I got into it and I just didn't have the passion for it. The people were great. Good people there, but, just didn't have the passion for it. And I had got hit on the other end before about a job in Southern Maryland running an Atlantic League team. So I only stayed in Muskegon for 6-9 months, something like that. Then went down to Southern Maryland and ran in the Atlantic League team, which is clearly the top independent league. And I think of any professional sports outlet, anything that's not affiliated to the big leagues. I think the Atlantic League's unbelievable. And went and did that, which gave me a new appreciation for the baseball ops side of affiliated baseball. Like I never fully, until you have to do it, until you have to put your name on the workers' comp check and all the salary and all the travel money. Yeah. And I'll get to that, my job after this one, talk about work. So I did that. Southern Maryland was a It was a great bridge. Awesome ownership. Guy named Peter Kirk on that team. Yeah. Who spent some time in Fredericksburg. He owned that thing, and he owned five teams in that league, so we had a lot of synergy amongst the various teams. And,
was John Danos part of that too?
John Danos hired me. John Danos is my boss. Awesome leader. Great guy. I learned a ton from him. Learned a lot of sales.
They did a good job in sales. That group in general.
Yeah. He was good. John and I, and I think he'd tell you, we had an automatic symmetry with each other from the first day we talked. I think he hired me within like 48, 72 hours. It wasn't long from, and he called Tom, the owner in Lansing, and obviously did a good job. Yeah, he hired me within, it's quick. It's really quick. Went down there, loved it. Another nice challenge. It was humbling for me because I was spoiled with the brand identities in Montgomery and Lansing. I didn't realize, once again, another thing you can reflect on. You didn't realize how good you actually had it. Southern Maryland was a challenge. I mean, you're right in the middle of DC, dude. Like, yeah. out in the suburb, battling. Nobody really lives in Waldorf, Maryland, or nobody really works in Waldorf, Maryland. Right. Yeah. People live there, and they shoot off left and right. And it was hard. That was hard. That was the first time I had to start making some really tough decisions on staffing levels. I had to get the thing right. Didn't fully get it there financially. I think turned around the culture and the brand identity of the team and grew some awesome employees there. And it was good. Executive of the year, and I think it was 15. And then the league, Hartford moved out of New Britain, Connecticut to go to Hartford, and that stadium opened up. And I grew up in Western Mass, about an hour from New Britain, and it's interesting. Then the league was really interested and asked me to go up there and talk about a startup, man. I got there. We got the keys to the building on January 1st. I met the guy I had to meet, got the keys, and had one employee on January 1st. Showed up. He's an ops guy who I'm still friends with. And to build the staff, had no sponsors, had no database, right?
It's not like you played that year then?
Started on April 23rd was opening day. We knew who the field manager was being, helped me with baseball ops. The city of New Britain was putting in, I think it was $1 million. I mean, that year is just a blur to me. hardest I've ever worked. Very gratifying that the attendance wasn't quite there that everybody had dreamed and hoped of and thought it would be. But I'll tell you, and I've talked to Mike Pfaff, the guy that I worked with, he was my direct supervisor. And, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago. I mean, just to sit back and really think about what we did to it was not Mickey Mouse. I mean, it was a real franchise, a real team, real cash flow, real everything. We got it going, and we got through a successful year of that. With that said, PSU started a pretty big growth curve, and Tom texted me, I think early December or something, and he's like, you ready to come back to work for me? ? And I hadn't heard from him in like 6 months, like hearing from an old girlfriend, you know? And,
hey, what's going on? Kind of interested.
Exactly. What's up? Yeah, I'm not happy right now. I was like, let's talk. And we talked, and growing like crazy. And even though I was the general manager of the teams and I was overseeing the P&Ls, I never actually ordered the food or did the nitty gritty logistics. And he's like, hey, you got some growth in the company. You know how much I love you. Need you to go on the ground and learn the business before you can hardcore before you can. And then, he didn't promise me, but he told me there's quick potential for growth. I got a friend, I had a couple guys that I was friends with in the company. They're like, yeah, come and do it. You can grow fast. We're growing. I did it. I did a pretty wild thing. I drove across country, and I was in Connecticut. My family stayed back. My kids had to finish school. And I went out there in February and lived in the box office manager's spare bedroom. Him and his wife had just got married. I'm a techie guy. We hit it off. He let me run out his side room. And I went on the ground, man. I was working. I think it took like 3 days off in 9 months. I didn't have anything else to do. It didn't bother me. I wasn't tired. And did it. We did a big number the first month out of the gates, a couple of huge concerts, a Mexican League soccer match, and then Grizzlies baseball. It's huge, and learned a lot, did that, and he called me.
So was it
me
just kind of like a GM role of like a property? Like food and beverage, is that kind of, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did, and it was relieving for me. I'd been running franchises, so I could walk around. The GM and I from that team still talk 2-3 days a week. Right now, we're really good friends. I could sit there without the pressure of having to run the franchise and relate to everything he was doing and sit there. So it was healthy to that point. You know what I mean? It was not a bad thing. It was a risk. It was a big risk. It was a pay cut. It was a separation from my family. It was a whole new field that I hadn't done. So it was a risk. I was ready to take it, and I did it, and it paid off. He called me and, June or July, and was like, hey, we're gonna do some movement. Like you to move to Phoenix and oversee a region. I know you can do it. It's all about leadership and people, which we can talk about that later. It's really all that we're in. And I went and I moved to Phoenix and oversaw 2 spring training properties. I think my first year was like 8 or 9 accounts. Fell in love with it. A lot of travel. Did that for a couple of years, and then this past October, I was named the operational division president. So I report to our chief operating officer Jeremy Goldblatt, and then our CEO and founder is Tom Dixon. And then the regional guys report up to me, and then all of our accounts go to those guys. And my main job is to really try to affect culture, make sure that we're staying consistent, make sure that if there's something that we're doing in one ballpark, the other ballparks know about it. But really, it's about leadership and culture, getting the right people, making sure that we're coaching and training people. I mean, that's what the sports world's got to be about, and that's what I got out of it. I got a lot of mentors in my 20s. My mother hit the nail on the head. Don't worry about money in your 20s. Put your head down, walk in the building every day, work as hard as you possibly can, and money will take care of itself in your 30s. And I tell every employee that I hire that's going to be a concession manager or a catering manager, first or second big time full-time job, hang with me and I'll save you $100,000 and not having to go to grad school, and I'll get you a graduate degree in business. Really try to, we're unique. We're owned by Compass Group and Levy Restaurants, which most people know Levy Restaurants. They're the premier provider in all big league sports and special events. I mean, the stuff that our company does amazes me every day. And before I got deep into this business, I didn't get it. And they let us do what we do, which is minor league baseball.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
Right, stay out of the way. We got to use all the systems. You know, it's not our money anymore. You know, it's Compass's money, so you have to be responsible. But they know that there's a big scale difference between the LA Dodgers and Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. Right, there's a pretty big delta there. And I take care of the Quakes, and that's what my job is, and it's to build partnerships. And the other nice thing about our company, you know, people can self-op if they want. It's a decision that gets made in minor league baseball, but we got a lot of unique advantages. I can do a lot of benchmarking. All the guys that self-op, I get two questions from, okay? They call me. I got a lot of old friends. Hey, our per cap is blank and blank. How does that look? I don't give them that information. That's part of what you buy into. And then you got any people, right? They're scared to loot. You know, your food guy flakes out. Your food guy flakes out in May or March or anywhere in the vicinity. Anywhere in the vicinity, yeah. You're in trouble. You are in trouble. And that's what our company does. I can helicopter in somebody, you know, the next morning to keep the train on the track. And that's a lot of what I do. A lot of what I do. It's a little bit of whack-a-mole. You know, I think we minimize that, but there's a bit of that. You know, there's when you're dealing with people, you're gonna have your ups and downs. It's been fun. It's been fun. Then we got into this year, and you know, we're revved up. I mean, I think you can argue for the professional sports landscape, nobody got affected. It's hard to compare, right? You don't want to say nobody's affected more or less, because everybody's been affected in some way. It's kind of like saying one person in an office worked harder than another person. I want to stay away from that. But if you think about it, minor league baseball carried all their overhead in the whole off season, right? I've always said it, Andrew, like, and Tom taught me this my first, for opening day in Lansing, my first year being a GM. He's like, your responsibility on game days is to maximize the 280 hours that we're open. Think about that. You know, we're going to do X amount of millions of dollars. We're open for 280 hours, 70 games, 4 hours. Typically, gates are open. That's us, man. That's me. That's what I've been doing.
So what, how many properties then are you over now?
Technically our total portfolio, I think the total entity is like 34,
35. Okay. Anything outside of baseball or just minor league baseball?
Just minor league baseball. We dabble in some soccer. It's played inside the stadiums. I got Major League Baseball clubhouses. I oversee the Mariners clubhouse out here in Peoria is out here. We do the one in West Palm Beach too, but minor league baseball is what we do. That's what we benchmark. We're all a bunch of minor league baseball guys. I mean, and we have a mix of some guys that aren't either, but the leadership is primarily made up of that.
So kind of like, you know, obviously, you know, COVID has really affected, you know, you guys. Like, what's kind of the extent of that? Like, I know, you know, no minor league baseball has been played. I know that some teams like are doing events and things like that to try to, you know, create some stuff.
Yep. We're doing it. We're doing that. Also, I mean, like what we're talking about, yeah, they got hit harder than anything because carried all the overhead into middle of March, and then no revenue. And it's going to carry for a full calendar year. But we, we just try to go every, like, what we're doing right now, it's hard because it's like putting a blindfold on, trying to bet what it's gonna be like in April. But we're still paying bills. Yeah, like we're in really good shape, but it's just a lot of admin stuff that we're doing. We're thinner than normal. We're talking. I think we're gonna come out of this great and come out of it smarter, more aggressive. Technology, you know, we're getting caught up on a lot of the things that when you're running hard and fast, you always want to get to, but you can't get to. Like, we're really able to look deep at our playbook, look deep at our efficiencies, and putting out an even better product for people. So we're working every day hard. I'm working harder than I have in a long time right now, and it's fine. And I told our guys that I work with this past week, just in my opinion, buckle up. December to August is probably going to be the toughest 9 months of our professional career, because when it comes, it's going to come fast.
Yeah.
And, no, and it's going to come quick, and there's going to be a lot of high. It's going to be a lot of hiring going on. I mean,
yeah,
really
a lot
thinking
of onboarding.
Deep.
Yeah,
a lot of onboarding. Yeah. I'm just trying to get ready for that.
So, how do you think technology will help you guys moving forward? And then, you know, does that cross over into fan experience at all?
I think. Well, first off, there's a big run on cashless right now. I'm spending a lot of time on that. I believe in the upside of that. I think that does bring efficiencies to a lot more stadiums. It's now not that it wasn't acceptable, because cashless had already started going out in sports arenas, but it was very much risky because not everybody has cards, and some people are cash only folks, but now you can. So I think there's a lot of efficiencies. There's a lot of upside in that in our business. See a lot more self-serve marketplace type of thing set up, which create efficiencies and product variety. It is nice on those. That's a lot of what we're talking about. And then I think suite levels are going to be different. You're going to have to be careful on your picnic buffets and how those are served. And nobody still fully knows. Like, it's all coming down to local health departments. I mean,
that's got to be the tough part for you, you know, overseeing, you know, and your regional guys, you know, every state or county for that matter could have different policies.
Yeah, it's another advantage to being in our company. If you're self-operating out there and you're dealing with all this yourself, you could expose yourself. We've got a really amazing risk management program and leadership and collaboration. I mean, and it's benefited. We've had a couple openings at Rosemont, Chicago Dogs, and St. Paul. American Association played 20 some odd games at limited capacities, like 1500 maxes. And we're able to set it up and go. And you can do it. You can do it. It's going to change the face of it. And I don't think anybody really knows, but it's being challenged is exciting. And we're all challenged right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you got to pivot a little bit and move around. Do you think, like, because I think on you know, my side of things, like, you know, sales and tickets, partnerships, I think more teams might be likely to start outsourcing some of those things a little bit more than maybe they would have before. Because number one is most of the teams are bare bones right now. They're going to have to ramp up pretty quick at some point. Do you think that because of this, that could be an opportunity for you guys as well to maybe more teams are going to look at, well, instead of, you know, restaffing up, do we just outsource and go with the pros who know, you know, how to do this?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of that. There's going to be a bit of the flip side too. People having to look at their P&Ls and
yeah, we got to do it in house now.
Yeah. There's both of it. I think some of the smaller teams are looking at it that way. Some of the larger teams are looking at it the other way. I mean, it comes down to revenue and top line and what people are willing to put up with. So there's a little bit of that, but it comes down to our business is pretty simple. I mean, it comes down, it's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than people realize. And is that hassle worth the fee that it is to do us? And I firmly believe that our services are valued properly.
So how do you, you know, how is the transition for you? Like, you know, you kind of been, you know, the assistant GM, GM, president of team. So in those roles, you're kind of, you're there, you know, you're right there every day. Now as the division president, you're kind of up at a different level and you're very widespread. So how has that transition kind of been, where, you know, you're not in, you know, the weeds of every single thing. I mean, you just can't be time-wise.
I love it. I love it. I didn't know how I would take to it. That was a big risk when I left Fresno to come to Phoenix. I'd never worked out of my house. I've been going to ballpark. Been waking up, getting in the car, and going to a ballpark every day for 18 years. And here I am sitting out here in my home office in Phoenix with a lot of responsibility. And it's great. Like, my boss said it the best, like, would I have to move or go somewhere else or go into a building? He's like, we don't worry about how, if you're working or not. And that's kind of the joke. Like, our home office folks, they're making fun of me the other day. Cause I guess I went on a rip where I call like all three people like in a row. I a little bit of the sales background in the group site background. I literally am on the phone with 50 to 75 different people a day, Andrew. I talk, you know, that's what I do. I communicate. I keep the trains on the tracks. I make sure people are talking and that's what it is. It's leadership. We'd be in a world of hurt if I was out inventorying CO2 tanks in buildings or walking around. Like we'd be in a world of hurt if I had to get down to that level and do that stuff. I enjoy it. I like working out of my house. It's been different. The travel is interesting. I mean, I spent well over 125 nights in hotels and last 19, the last full season we played. It's a lot because you got it's usually three to four trips to each property inside a region through a calendar year. And I think I had 11 teams. So it was a lot. I like that though. I got used to it. I miss it right now. I mean,
I want to get out of the house.
Yeah. I can't even explain it to you. I went from traveling and getting used to that to I haven't left, I was in Stockton, California, the second week in March, the first week, whatever the 7th, 8th, whatever that week was the last time I traveled.
How many regional managers do you have or directors?
Five guys. People, one in Hartford, one in Charlotte, one in St. Paul, one in Dayton and one in Las Vegas.
So how do you kind of, you know, manage that and kind of keep everyone motivated and just positive when everything is kind of like there's no answers for a lot of stuff right now? You know, I mean, it really takes, you know, good leadership to kind of keep all that together. What what's kind of your secret sauce on that?
It's a good question. I'm fortunate enough to have real adults that are in those roles, and I don't have to sit around and give Newt Rockne rah-rah speeches to anybody, nor would I, nor would that be the right thing to do. But it's just talking, making sure that they know that I'll support them and I help back them up, is, and understanding what's going on in each other's day. And like I said, just making sure everybody's talking to each other and help out with partner conversations. I do a good amount of that too. So it's just staying organized and telling people what I know when I know it, you know, and just being transparent with everybody through the process. And those guys are working incredibly hard right now, because we are putting on some events like you talked about. You have some movie nights going on, some virtual kitchens happening, some lot of dinner on the diamonds. You know, we have a chef of ours that put out in Pawtucket. I've been doing a bunch of those, and Hartford's doing a really nice job with them. They're a lot of work, a little bit of money, but they're justifying keeping people paid. So that's kind of what the goal is. If we can make the numbers work, then that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and keep the guys. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Do your regional guys go out and like solicit your new business, or is that primarily coming from you or others, or are they just kind of manage existing accounts?
Tom does a lot of it. Our CEO and founder. He does a lot of that. He's friends with a lot of the owners, you know, almost all the owners. So a lot of that comes from him. And then, yeah, we all know people inside the industry, and you know, I'll usually get a couple emails a month, you know, which isn't bad for there's only 160 teams, you know. Hey, just interested, what would it look like? And we have a partner, Jeff Osborne, who kind of works on putting the deals together and the presentations and making sure we're asking the right questions so that everybody's going into a partnership eyes wide open. So it's a full team effort. My guys will go in a lot and check out the equipment, check out the thoughts of the stadium and the setup and things like that.
And I know you said you guys are primarily baseball, but is there been discussions about like adding into like venues, like arenas or convention halls, you know, other?
No, Levy does that. Levy okay. has all those different divisions, right? They got major sports, they got convention center division, they got NASCAR, they got golf. They have all that. We are doing the minors, yeah. Minor league baseball. That is what we do. That is our niche.
Nice. No, I mean, I had a chance to work with you guys a little bit when I was up in Virginia, and guys were always doing a good job. Jeff's a funny guy up there, so.
You got to be genuine, you know. That's what this is about. And that's the other thing I like about MILB, too, and I've always been hooked on it, is the friendships and relationships inside of it. And
everybody, it's such a small group, isn't it? I mean, it's like yeah. everywhere you turn, there's some sort of connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's a good amount of us that have been around 20-something years and might not know each other, but you know the name.
Heard the name, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And you can pick up real quick and find similarities. And, yeah, it's special. It's special, and I'm proud to be part of it.
So anything else that, you know, you're kind of focused on it, you know, trying to drive PSC, you know, through this, you know, COVID thing? I mean, you know, that'll help position yourselves. I mean, I talked about it on a few of the shows, just, you know, you got, you know, half the companies out there are kind of just like, they went in hibernation mode. And then you have other companies that are kind of, you know, either like you said, getting caught up on areas where you needed to get caught up on, or trying to be more efficient and pivoting a little bit, you know, to position themselves. So as soon as it does open up, you know, you don't have all that that ramp up time that, that the people that are hibernating have.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be a sprint. But hey, it's what we do. Yeah.
Well, figure it out. The good thing is when you guys get to that point, when you're looking to hire people, hopefully you could check out, my Free Agent Friday series. That's the series where people have gotten laid off due to COVID, some good people out there, and hopefully we can get them back to work, you know, as soon as possible. But, all different types of, you know, departments that we've had people on there. So I'm sure when things ramp up, you guys are going to have tons and tons of, spots throughout the country. So you're going to have to.
I'll tell you, like, you don't have to have a food and beverage background in order to get a job in food and beverage. You got to be willing to learn. Don't come in and act like you got all the answers because it's complicated, you know. But if you're hungry and you want to learn and you want a job and a pretty steady industry, once sports gets up and going, then they're always going to be feeding people. Check me out. Send me a note on LinkedIn, and take your resume and hold it and have conversations. And I can give you advice too if you want to just talk about the industry as a whole. I'm more than willing to help anybody. I'm a big believer in that. Any young person out there that wants any advice or any support, it's not much I haven't seen, and I'll be a complete open book with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, it's crucial that we do that, you know, give back and help, you know, where we can with those people. It sounds, you know, you sound similar. It's, you know, even your employees, you know, you want them to develop and you want them to grow, and, you know, that's a great sign of a good leader. So.
Yeah. It's what it worked. Like I said before, it's a people business.
Yeah.
You're in the food, you're not selling, you know, you're not in the billboard selling business. You're in the people business. I'm in the people business too. And how you act impacts others around you. And you got to be cognizant of it as a leader.
Yeah. Well, I'll always be a fan because I like to eat a lot. So, you know, I'm going to check out, you know, some of the ballparks you guys are at, especially the ones in Florida. So it's good to know that you guys are down here.
West Palm Beach and Port Charlotte, the Rays.
I've been down. I used to live down in Southwest Florida, so I know the Port Charlotte area.
All right. Nice. Nice.
So, no, it was great. Patrick, thank you for joining me. It was great chatting with you. You know, good luck, you know, as you guys are coming out of COVID, but excited to watch kind of, you know, your guys' growth over the next
year. Yeah. And keep on helping out these free agents on Friday, Andrew. That's a great way to do it. It'll come back to you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll do.
Cool. Thanks, man. Take care.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.